Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain, He's still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times, He's still God in the bad times. The God of the day, He's still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of trials and temptation, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain, He's still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times, He's still God in the bad times. The God of the day, He's still God in the night.
Thank you, brother. I don't know if I've told y'all or not, but God directed me to Promise Baptist Church up in Ruffin, North Carolina. David Bray, I don't know if y'all know him, but I have to go in on Sunday morning, teach Sunday school, and then preach Sunday night. I told him I was going to have to leave him this Wednesday. And I told him that when God opened the door for me to preach, then that's where I'm going to be. Because the preaching actually is better than, sitting and listening to David. I'd rather be doing the preaching than the listening.
Yeah.
I will say one thing about... Ned, I'll leave this alone. Donald Trump, he went to one of the primaries. I don't know if y'all seen it or not, but they said, we don't have time for the national anthem. He says, yes, we do. So he called a girl up, got her to sing the national anthem. He stood there with his hand on his heart the whole time. So... That meant a lot to me. But I met up with a lady over at Riverview. Boy, she gave me a mouthful. But anyway, I'm just praying that, like he said, that God would put the right man up there. I'd like to give you a message tonight, not the usual hollering and shouting and run up and down the aisle sermons. It's called, Where Are the Tears? Where Are the Tears? When I got saved at Lively Stone Baptist Church, seems like an eternity ago, 1972, God reached way down in my heart and He humbled me. And I cried crocodile tears like nobody's business. I wet down the altar. In fact, on up during my experience, he was breaking me down again. 1974, he called me to preach. And he was breaking me down in between 72 and 74. I used to sit in a pew and I cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. I would use a couple of handkerchiefs up. My wife can testify to it. And where are the tears anymore? The altar still is dry. There's no tears there. Why are we not getting any tears? Because we're not getting broken. God is with him that is of a humble and contrite spirit. We've got to realize that we got a lot of pride, even though if we don't like to admit it. We got plenty of pride. And the only way God can root it out is through tears. But if you would turn in the book of Nehemiah, since you're all tired, I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But it is a good thing to stand up for the reading of God's word. They did it back in Nehemiah's time, which we'll see here for long. Nehemiah chapter 1. If you would, let's all stand. Young gentleman back here stood up. Let's all stand up. I guess Jesus was tired when he drug that cross up Calvary's hill too.
Yes.
The words of Nehemiah, the son of Akali, and it came to pass in the month Chisalu in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. My friends, we're in great affliction and reproach right now in our day.
Yes.
We say we don't have much to thank the Lord for, but just think. If you were born over in Iraq, if you're born in Afghanistan, guess what? You would have never known the Lord. All you would have known is the same thing that they know today. But it says, the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, bless this message, your unworthy servant, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may seat it. Here was Nehemiah. He had a concern. He had a concern for Jerusalem. He had a concern for the city. But the walls had been torn down. And when he heard these words, he wept. First of all, he sat down. He couldn't take it, because his heart's desire was, like Paul, to see his brethren according to the flesh saved. He wanted the city to be like it was. My question is today, what about Faith Baptist Church? Have we ever wept for these pews to be filled up? Have we ever shed a tear? Have we ever mourned so that the pews might be full? Donnie gets up, preaches his heart out. We need a concern for lost souls. We need a concern for this church. It's a good place. For many years it has been a place or a refuge for Christians to come and hear the word of God, sing the songs of Zion, and know that there is a place where they can come and get out of the cares of this world. But how many times have we mourned? How many times have we wept? How many times have we fasted? You know, a lot of times God answers prayers through fasting. We've got to realize that until we get a deep concern within our heart, we'll never see results. We've got to weep. We've got to pray. We've got to seek the face of God. It says he prayed before the God of heaven. He mourned, he fasted, he prayed. You want to know how to get this church full? Here's the recipe right here. Sit down. And he wept. Mourned certain days. Fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. It's through fasting, it's through prayer, it's through tears. Amen. Then we can get it full.
Yeah.
2 Kings. Second Kings 8. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. He wanted to know if he was going to die. There's a point in the man wants to die. I mean, we're not going to get around that. But at the same time, he wanted to know if he was going to die of the sickness that he had at that present time. Kind of like Donnie there in his sickness. We all have sickness. We wonder, my wife had just got her, I don't know if she told you about a foot in the place where they cut her had split back open. And the doctor in Greensboro wouldn't touch her because he was afraid that he might have to take her foot off. And he said that she might die on the operating table, so he refused to treat her. So we went back home, and we started the treatment that the wound doctor over in Eden told us to do. And guess what? It's just about healed. It's almost level with the top of her foot. Our God is a God of miracles. That doctor didn't want to touch her, but she's back almost well. Down in 2 Kings, Elisha came to Damascus. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. And it was told him, saying, the man of God is come hither. And the king said unto Hazael, take a present in thine hand and go and meet the man of God, and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover of this disease? So Hazael went to meet him and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burdened, and came and stood before him, and said, thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to thee, saying, shall I recover of this disease? And Elisha said unto him, go say unto him, thou mayest certainly recover, howbeit the Lord hath showed me that he shall surely die. Now you're talking about a hypocrite. This Hazael was a hypocrite. You know, the ones that put Jesus to death was the religious crowd. the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They said, crucify him, crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and our children. And it has been. In verse 12, sometimes you wonder how the preacher really knew what was going on. What somebody has said or what is going on in the church. God reveals it unto him. Right. And it says in verse 12 that Hazael said, why weepeth my Lord? Now in verse 11, we see that the man of God wept. Tears, wept. But it was tears because he knew what was about to happen. Amen. Here was a man that could live. God could kill him. But because of a double-minded man, he would not live. Hazael was a hypocrite, a servant, a dog, that he should do this great thing. The Lord has showed me that I shall be king over Syria. He told me that thou shouldest surely recover. Amen. King, you're going to recover. God will recover you from your sickness. And there is not a sickness, my friends, that God cannot recover us from. But in the case of Bildad, that was a snake in the grass. You ever heard of waterboarding? You know how much philosophy there was on waterboarding? You know, they say that there's nothing new that's always in the Bible. You know, we had the man that run naked through the tombs. Was a streak. You remember back when we were coming up the streak? Well, waterboarding is right there in verse 15. While the king was sleeping, he took a thick cloth, dipped it in water, and spread it on his face so that he died. And Hazael reigned in his stead. That's waterboarding. How about that? Ain't nothing new under the sun, is it? Elisha wept for Israel. Ezra we have another one that wept. How many of us? You know, the Bible tells us of all the things that's going to happen. All the things that's going to happen. And nothing that we can do other than pray and seek the face of God will turn God from doing what needs to be done. In Ezra chapter 10, verses 1 and 3. Now Israel had sinned. They had started marrying between the Gentiles around them and their own daughters and sons. Ezra says, for a little while, for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Here we are, we had people that were not following what God wanted them to do. says, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, the land unto which you go to possess it is an unclean land with the filthiness of the people of the land, with your abominations, which have filled it from one end to another. God says, come out from among them and be ye separate. We can't look like the world, act like the world, talk like the world. We have to be separate from the world. But he said, now when Ezra had prayed, because they had broke his commandments, joined an affinity with the people of these abominations, he knew that God was going to be angry with them. Now when Ezra had prayed and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. You see all the tears? We cannot trespass against God and think God's going to bless us. The Bible says that is presumptuous sin. Presuming that God is going to bless us even though we trespass against him. We say, well, I don't sin. The Bible says the man that said that he had not sinned is a liar. But we need to get tears for our sin and trespasses, remembering that God can, not somebody with a turned around collar, but God can take away all our trespasses and our sins. Yes. We'll never have to stand before God and answer for it. But we've got to have a sorrow. We got to have weeping. When Ezra prayed and when he wept, the people wept. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Is when all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. What does water in the Bible stand for? Water stands still. Water stands for the word of God. They were at the place. They spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses. That's the Torah. And all that could hear with understanding came into the congregation. Before the men and the women and those that could understand, the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. When we come to church, we need to be attentive unto the word of God. Hey. Don't be thinking about a television program or what we're going to have for lunch or dinner. Bible says we need to be attentive unto the book of the law of the word of God. Ezra opened a book in the sight of all the people. And when he had opened it, all the people stood up. That's what I was telling you just a while ago. We need to stand up in reverence to the word of God. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites caused the people to understand the law. They were supposed to be the teachers of the law. Brother Donnie is supposed to be a teacher of the word of God. He says, this day is holy unto the Lord, your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. What does that say? The word tastes good going in, but it's bitter in the stomach when it's being digested. When it's going in, we love because of the grace and the mercy of God and the cross of Calvary and the resurrection from the dead. Oh, it's so sweet to the taste. But then we get into the Word of God, we learn of the judgments of God. That Jesus dying on the cross, it says the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Tears. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And all the people went that way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Praise God when you understand what the Word of God says and what it means to you as a Christian. Amen. Praise God. You want to go into mirth. You want to shout. You want to holler. You want to praise. And I can't do it like Paul says can, but of course, I don't know how old he was. How old is he? Do you know, Bill?
70.
Well, I got almost 4 years on him. But you see the importance of weeping. We have to weep.
Yes.
We weep at the Word of God. Because of it. Do we understand what's going to happen to thousands and thousands of people if they don't get right with God? We need to weep. Then Luke 19. I'm sorry to be jumping all over the place, but we need to see what it was talking about. Luke 19:41. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Here was a place that killeth the prophets, stoneth them that he sent unto them. Was Jesus angry? Was he mad at them? No, he wept for them. We need to weep for our enemies. Do good to them that persecute us. Do all manner of evil against us. We're supposed to love them. I know what the Bible says about, and my wife's brother called me about this. I know what it says about lesbians and gays and bisexuals and transgenders. But my friends, they got souls just like all the rest of us. We need to pray for them, pray for their families. Verse 41, when he would come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. When was the last time you wept over Danville? My brother-in-law is a sheriff or school resource officer in the sheriff's department. He says the city is becoming very wicked. We've got all types of evil in here. Sometimes we get in our little shells and we don't realize what's going on around us. But it's a wicked city. And all we need to do is get caught in the wrong situation. And we'd all get hurt. They say, well, we could close the nightclubs up or so forth. Then they'd start on the churches. You ever thought about them walking into this church right here and doing the same thing they did in that nightclub? Cut us all down. It could very well happen. We need to pray for this church, for one another, the city of Danville, all the police officers and fire officers that we have. But he says, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. All these people are so close, laying on the floor, wondering if he's going to come over top of them and pull the trigger. They could have had peace. But now, it's hid from their eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children with thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Jesus wept for his enemies. Another familiar story, which all of you know, John chapter 11. When my granddaddy died, there's two verses in that that gave me. He was a Primitive Baptist. My granddaddy, when I got saved, I stooped down in front of him and I cried like a baby, begging for him to get saved. Shedding crocodile tears, begging him. When was the last time you got down in front of one of your loved ones and cried and begged them to be saved? We've got to have some tears. But in verses 25 and 26, I got comfort, and Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Think about that, folks. Though we be dead, yet we'll live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Think about that. You're never going to die if you believe in Jesus.
Amen.
You'll never see death. You'll never taste death, because he's tasted death for every man.
That's right, brother. You're right.
But over in verses 33 through 43, well, start with verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Tears over the loss of a loved one. Precious in the sight of God is the death of one of his saints. When you die, you'll be precious in his sight. Then the Jews said, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning with himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. And when they go down to verse 23, and when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. In verse 42, he said, Lord, when I prayed, I know that you heard me. How many of us, when we pray, actually believe that God heard us?
Yes.
Jesus said, I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Believing. When we pray, we've got to believe.
Yes.
Because if one night we're wavy, we're not going to receive anything unless we believe with true faith. Every person that was cured and healed in the Bible was healed because of their faith. My wife's foot was healed because of our faith. My knees were healed because of our faith. Why are you using yourself? You're no better than nobody. No, I'm not better than anybody else. But through faith, we got it done. I can only use myself because I'm the only one that I know about. I don't know about you. I don't know about what's inside of you or whatnot. But we need to have a compassion for our loved ones. Jesus wept because of Lazarus. Sometimes we're like Martha. We get caught up in the toils of this life. Mary was at the feet of Jesus. That's where we need to be, at the feet of Jesus. Yeah. Praying, weeping.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He said when Mary was come, when Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been in my brother, had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, tears. We've got to have tears.
Right.
Which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Psalm 119 in verse 136. Psalm 119 in 1. The psalmist says in verse 129, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statute. Now listen, 136. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. How many of us pray for the lost? How many of us pray for the lost? He says, rivers of water run down my face, out of mine eyes. Because people just will not keep thy law. Oh, we need so much to weep. So much to shed tears. I've got a brother. I'm kind of like Paul. I got a younger brother that if I could give my own soul to see him saved, I would. I love that brother. He don't think I love him, but I do. I love him. I pray for him. But my friend, let me tell you something. When you get a concern for lost souls, Psalm 29 verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. When we get a vision of lost souls and we get to the point that rivers of water run down from our eyes, then you'll see souls saved. But where are the tears? We need tears to water.
Amen.
We need tears to water. You can take a plant out here and you can put it in the ground, but if there is no water upon it, it never will grow. And you can sow seeds unto the lost, but if there is no tears, it will never grow. We've got to water it. That's the reason we talk about some will sow seed, some will water. How are they going to water it? They water it with the word, but they also water it with tears. How do I know? Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, and that'll be it. 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. When our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing, then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. You see what happens when you rejoice in the Lord? The heathen around you see that the Lord hath done great things for you. Their mouth was filled with laughter. Their tongue was singing. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to go about making melody in our heart unto the Lord, singing, praising. But let's go on. The Lord hath done great things for us. Well, we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. What's a crown of rejoicing soul winner's crown? When we sow in tears, we shall weep in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The question I have is, why are the tears? We've seen from the Word of God the many things that we need to be praying about, crying about, shedding tears. Can we shed a few tears today? Do we love our loved ones enough that we can shed those tears? Do we love our church enough that we can shed those tears? We talk about people going down to the hospital and Donnie going back down to Duke. Can you get on your knees and shed tears for him and for the ones going to the hospital? Share their burdens. We need to share one another's burdens. How do we do it? With tears. Tears. Brother Donnie, you want to come on? I always turn it over to the preacher.
You know, when somebody died, they brought mourners in, and the tears, they put them in bottles, and they buried them with them.
Yeah, they did. How many enjoyed that?
Amen.
I tell you what, tears, we just don't, our tear ducts are just dried up. We need to allow God just to open up them tear ducts once again. We really do.